Here we go. That's right, fellas. We're back after a long-awaited hiatus. We're back with the BDLL podcast preseason edition for an incredibly important 20th season of the BDLL. Pumped to be back with you guys, and I have so much to share on this episode. I am incredibly excited to share the project that I've been working on. If you're listening to this, you've already made your way to the brand new BDLL headquarters. I'm going to get to a lot more on that as we go throughout the show. But I got to start with this. 19 years ago, as we head into the 20th season, have me thinking back, 12 of us, well, 10 of us, we were in Billy's basement. There were 10 copies of the same exact cheat sheet that we were all going to draft off of. Somebody just printed upstairs 10 minutes earlier. And there was questionable decisions then, as there are now, but that was 2007. Nobody in the basement of Billy's parents' house thought they were starting anything. We thought we were just killing time on a Saturday. That was season one. And since then, we've drafted in basements, in random living rooms, Airbnbs across the Midwest, and even out in Scottsdale, Arizona, where that was the official turning point where we grew up and started acting like a real league. This year, we go to St. George. But before we get to all that, 19 seasons, 19 champions crowned, 10 teams turned into 12 in 2014, the expansion, the merger, whatever you want to call it, and the league we now have was born. Some of you have been here since the very beginning. Most of you have been here for 12 plus years now. And man, the commish is excited to be back with the 2026 BDLL season preview. So let me not bury the lead any further. If you're listening to this, you're here. Welcome to thebdll.com. It is live right now. This is something I built. This is something I've been working on for months. And I want you to check it out. I hope that you'll take some time to explore. I'm going to talk you through some of what's on the site, some of the really cool features that I've built in. And I'm just really excited to share this project with you guys. So 19 seasons of the league, I've got myself thinking all of this history exists in our stupid Yahoo account and random spreadsheets that I don't even trust, even though I'm the one that I created them. But there's no way to look at all that at one time. And I thought, how can we pull all of this information together in a way that can settle every argument, decide who's actually best, who's the biggest fraud, who's gotten robbed over the years, and every one of those arguments becoming settled because now we have the numbers, all of them. Every game since 2007, every score, every matchup, every lineup, every championship, every catastrophe, everything is searchable, everything is sortable, and the stats, the data, they don't forget. This is the truth of the league, and it's all right here. So let me take a few minutes, walk you through the new site. I hope you'll follow along, or I hope you'll take some time to click around and check out some of the awesome things that are here as you go into the future here. But we're going to start with a place called the League Ledger, the spot that tells us everything we need to know right in one place. Every manager, all time, sorted however you want, and here's what it says. First off, yours truly, Spencer Bonahoom, the commish. 151 and 123. Three championships, highest career dominant score in the league at 86.3. First place. Now, before anyone throws something, there's a little toggle at the top of the page that says since merger. Go ahead and click that. What you'll see, since 2014, I have zero championships. Every trophy I own is from a decade ago. I'm running a victory lap that really shouldn't be run. I wasn't even an adult for many of these championships. Last season, I finished 10th. My all-time number is a monument to a guy that doesn't even play here anymore. I built the page that says that, so I want the credit for it, but I'll own it from the top. The commish is due, and I'm coming back with a vengeance this year. Let's run down the list. You got Andy next, 151 wins, dead even with me. most in league history, one championship only, 19 seasons of being really good at football and really bad in the playoffs. He won the regular season last year at 11-4, best record in the league that year. Yeah, a little regular season money to go with that, but not much else to show for it. Here's the thing. Andy has won more games than anyone else in the league and only has the one trophy to show for it. And that's just personality of his team, I think. Next, you have Wade. 15 playoff appearances, more than anybody else in the league and only one championship. We're sensing a theme here at the top. Lots of wins in the regular season, not a lot of titles. And the crazy thing is, you click that toggle again for since merger, Wade has 100 wins since we've expanded to 12 teams. That's six more than the next closest and no titles in that span. 10 playoff appearances in 12 seasons. Again, the most since the merger and not a lot to show for it. Couple of measly division titles and, oh, even a bottom feeder thrown in there. The other thing that we need to know here is Wade owns the single highest score in a single game in league history. We'll get to that when we get to the records page in a little bit. But another cool stat to point out here. Next on the list is Brandon. And the cool thing about Brandon is you'll see the three trophies next to his name. He's second in career dominant score at 69.2. Genuinely one of the best, but also he's tied for the most bottom feeder finishes after finishing 12th this last season. He's got three bottom feeders to go along with those three championships. Boom and bust, to say the least. Brandon's usually on one end of the spectrum. Then you've got Tony. Three championships in 14 seasons. The best trophies per year rate in the league, if we go by that, because there's some other guys with three, but they've been playing a little bit longer. Tony just shows up, wins, and then tries to talk about the year that I kicked him out of the league, which was mostly just to get rid of Mopper. Sorry, Tony. You got Emma with two championships. Also, I feel like Emma's the only one with a legitimate reason to be unavailable on a Sunday, depending on what kind of crazy shit's going on in the city of Fort Wayne. And still, he's done better than half of you, so that says a lot. Scott, one championship, 18 seasons, 13 playoff appearances towards the top of the list in that column. Consistent into the playoffs, and still, I could not tell you one thing that he did last year. Then you've got Junk, the reigning champion. Enjoy it while it lasts, because I don't think it's going to last for another season. And then you've got Riley. 19 seasons, 12 playoff trips. Been here since the days of Billy's Basement. We'll come back to Riley's profile here in a little bit. Landon is at the bottom of the league ledger, but you'll notice he does have a trophy next to his name, which is more than a couple of the other guys can say here. 2023 division title that, by the way, he won at a record of 6-9. That's one of the coolest things about creating this is it becomes so much more apparent very quickly the crazy things that have happened, like winning a division with a losing record. One more note on Landon, runner-up last season. He's gotten close a few times, definitely improved in recent years, and looking to add another trophy to his case this year. I did skip a couple guys along the way because I want to talk about them in different parts. So let's shift gears here. From the league ledger, go back to that history tab and click on the record books. Unfortunately, the very first thing that you'll see is Joel Girardeau. At the very top of the record books, you'll see him listed as having the most dominant season in BDLL history. That was back in 2011. 13-3 record, including playoffs. 2,157 points over the season, almost 300-point differential over his opponents that year. The site calls it the most complete season in 20 years of BDL history. I don't know if I'd go that far. And for the record, I did not write every single word of this site. This has been a shared project, so don't come at me for every little word that's written on here. But we'll give it to Joel. The best season that's ever been had in one single season. And before I talk further about that, just know this is where you scroll down. There's all kinds of records here, single game records like Wade's 203.6 points back in 2013. That was a playoff game, too, against Emo, round two. All this stuff you can see. And the best part is it's all clickable. You want to look at Wade's 203 points in that game against Emo? Click on it, and you'll check out the entire box score for that game. You'll be able to see that he was led by none other than Nick Foles with 48.5 points. Nick Foles. And shout out to the legend, Jamal Charles, 60 points in that 203-point output for Wade. What a huge game from a legend at the running back position. So anyway, you can click on all these. You can see every single matchup. And oh, by the way, this page even has a sense expansion toggle as well. So if you want to say, hey, these records are bullshit, these are from way back in the day before we had 12 teams, click on that little toggle, and then you'll see the most dominant season in history shifts over to none other than our defending champ, Junk, even though this was for his 2019 season with a 12-3 overall record, a nearly 450-point differential. Again, check some of this out for yourself. Check out the dominant scores, all those kinds of things. There's all kinds of records, good and bad, across this entire records book page. Okay, back to Joel. We've seen that he has apparently the most dominant season in league history, but I want to direct you to another spot. If you go to the League HQ and the manager's page, here you'll see the same dominance score, but played out over the course of an entire career. So while Joel has the number one most dominant season ever, by that exact same metric across his career, Joel ranks ninth, bottom third of the league. Best season ever, bottom third in his entire career. To me, that says Joel put together one freaking lucky season, and beyond that, a bunch of crap. Dead last in the league, if you click since the merger, 76 and 93. Both of his championships come from before expansion. That tells us a lot about Joel's teams through the years. The math says it. I didn't make this up, Joel. This is real. This is the math. And it says, even though you have the best season ever, you've spent 14 years since then proving that it was an accident. All right. What else do we have here? Ah, Billy. I did save Billy for this spot. We're on the manager's page. We've got the career dominance score. It takes into account wins, playoffs, championships, points, your entire body of work over your entire career in the league. And yeah, I am first in the dominance score at 86.3. That's what strong, consistent work and multiple championships will do for you. On the other end of the spectrum is Landon, 11th place in the career dominant score, 33.5. And then Bill, 7.5 career dominant score. That shouldn't even count as last place. Like, last place would be an improvement from that. There's a 26-point gap between Billy and Landon on these dominant scores. You do see the trophies there as well. Two division champs and a three-time runner-up. That's the part that stood out to me the most. I didn't realize this. Bill, you've made it to the championship three times. That's actually only one less than me. I've made it to the championship four times, won three of them and lost one. You've made it three times, which is more than a lot of guys in the league, and you just can't get over the hump. Maybe this year will be the year. I don't know. But making the playoffs 12 times, making the championship three times, you get in, you make it there. Now it's time to go from making it there to winning the whole thing. Now let me just tell you this. Bill, the draft is September 8th. You have a little more than a month to prepare, so this is your time. Find a podcast, find a cheat sheet, pull O'Reilly and find a magazine that's probably already 2 months out of date. Do something and get ready. September 8th, it's redemption time, my friend. Got to get you on the scoreboard here. All right, that's a couple of the pages, but there are a bunch more. So let me rapid fire through some of the other pages across the website and the BDLL HQ. First, there's a bunch of pages within the history tab. So we'll start with the Hall of Champions. This has every year, every champion, every piece of hardware the league has ever handed out. Runners-up, regular season winners, division titles, even the All-Star game in there for the years that we've had it, and every bottom feeder, even Mopper. I had to give him a little nod with the one spot in his one season where we kicked him out of the league. Tony, collateral damage. Glad we could bring you back in a few years later, and you've proved that it was worth it with multiple championships. Next up is draft history. This one is, I think, is super cool. There's so much that I didn't even realize and cool data that I would have never known. First of all, you can click through and see every single draft board for every year that we've had. So that's kind of fun to see who you picked when, where you really messed up. And then when you go to the next tab, you can see the keepers, keeper ledger. So you can see who are the most kept players of all time. Spoiler, number one is Christian McCaffrey. He's been kept by three different managers over the seasons. So on this tab, you can see who's been kept. You can also go to your own specific team name and see exactly who you've kept through the years. I can go back and relive the amazing keep of J.K. Dobbins, who did nothing back in 2022. Or what about one that I will never forget, Kenyon Drake in 2020 for a round four pick. Golly, that was terrible. Anyway, check out the good and the bad and the ugly of your own keepers through the years. And then probably my favorite part is go to find your own page on the manager history tab. You'll be able to find your most drafted players of all time. I'm telling you right now, there's a guy on your list that you've taken four times and it has never once worked. You're going to see his name and you're probably going to feel a little something. What's crazy to me is that the most repeat drafted players in our own league history are all kickers. Side note, I will save my let's cut kickers from the league rant till we get to Utah. The two that stood out to me the most, Scott clearly has a type. 5 years of Mason Crosby through the early years of the league, followed by, we all know it, five consecutive years of Justin Tucker from 2020 to 2024. I'm just excited to see which kicker Scott grabs onto next and drafts for the next five seasons. But the one that is another step above that, and no one even comes close, the most across the board are five-time players that you've drafted. Billy has a guy that he has drafted seven times, and it is none other than Robbie Gould. Talk about a kicker, man. Got to stick to that Bears love through the years, and then you gave him a little. This was crazy. Every season except for one from 2009 through 2015, and then a nice hiatus before you gave him one more nod in 2020 as your drafted kicker. The most drafted player of all time, Robbie Gould, to Billy. Moving on from the draft history page, there's also the matchup matrix. This is one of my favorites. It shows you your head-to-head against every other manager in the league all in one big grid. So you can see in green who you're dominating, in red who's dominating you. You can click to highlight your own row so you can see everybody there. And it's cool. You might think you already know who you beat up on the most, but this is a good spot to kind of see above and beyond. And oh, by the way, the gold boxes are the ones where you have a 65% or higher win rate. So there's only, you know, a half a dozen or so of those across the chart, people that are truly dominating a matchup. I'll save you to find those and call out your league mates here in a little bit, but I have one I'll bring up in a few minutes as well. Okay, I think that covers everything in the history. Oh, I didn't mention the season archive. Season archive is awesome too. You can click through every single season and see what the final standings were that season. You can sort by final, including playoffs, or there's a button to toggle it back to regular season where you can see how the divisions shaped up for the recent years where we've had divisions. Really cool. And then at the bottom, you can see the full schedule and results for that season as well. So season archive, including everything from every season all in one place. Pretty awesome. That's all the history stuff, right? Tons of history, 19 seasons in the books. But it's time for us to move on to our 20th season. And so for that, we slide over to the League HQ. Now, there's four sections here. I already talked a little bit about the managers, but I'll get back to that in a minute here. First is the season hub. Right now, you're just going to see a countdown to draft day and an opportunity to choose your keepers, which we'll speak on in a minute as well. But when the season goes live, this will be live. And this will be your home base with standings, division races, last week's results, the upcoming matchups, who's on the playoff bubble, all kinds of other cool features that'll be on kind of this main landing season hub page. So we'll check this out more when the season kicks off. Then you've got the managers, and I mentioned this already, but honestly, this is the page that I think I'm really the most proud of. The main landing page has a card for all 12 of you with your full career summary. We talked about that a little bit already. You can see your career dominance score, your trophies, win percentage, all that stuff. But then the coolest part to me is click on your card to go to your full profile. First, you'll have that same career summary, trophy case, career stats, all that. But then there's a breakdown by seasons. Click on that seasons tab. Do you want to see your full schedule from 2015? It's there. It'll show you your record, how you finished, where you finished in the playoffs. Did you win a division or any other kind of trophy? It's all right there. The best part, though, is not only that. Do you want to see a matchup and remember what happened? Click on it. I talked about this earlier in the record books, but this exists everywhere throughout the site. Every matchup we've ever had is here. Full lineup, box score, who you started, who you should have started, comparisons across the entire league from that week. Genuinely, like, I hope I'm not tooting my own horn. This is way better than any of the historic intel that's on the Yahoo site right now, and it's all right here at your fingertips. And from there, you can get to a lot of different places. So back on your manager page, check out the versus the league tab. This one might be the coolest. It'll rank everybody based on your, I think it's based on your win percentage against them. Mine's not looking like that, so I don't know. It might just be a random order. But when you click on that versus the league tab, you'll see how you have fared against everyone else individually. So first thing you do is click on Joel to make sure that you kick his ass regularly. And he's the number one on my list. So then I see, Joel. Oh, I have a 70.4 win percentage over Joel in 19 seasons. 19-8 overall against Joel in my career. That is true domination. And that's why this area is really cool, because then you can see, I didn't even realize I started going down the matchups right now as I'm looking at my all of these many wins over Joel through the years. From 2018 through 2020, I went 6-0 against Joel. Those were the 3 years that he and I were in the same division. So that is true division domination. And I would never have known that if I wasn't clicking here, looking at this right now. So pretty cool. I can see every matchup that you've ever had in order. And again, click on the matchup, see who the players were, see what got you that win, who you should have started, remember the pain, remember the joy, all of it. And just because most of you, I don't know, you probably weren't thinking of this, but I was. I want to make a special note here to note that consolation games are not counted. These are excluded everywhere across the site. And that took some serious background work to do, but it was important to me because I know that none of us even set our lineups for those like playoff consolation games. Once we're out, we're out. So I wouldn't want, you know, Landon getting extra credit for wins in games that no one pays attention to. So same thing goes for that kind of phantom number one versus eight seed game from the recent years where we've only had seven teams in the playoffs. That game got excluded as well. So every record, every win percentage, every game that you see in here should only be true played games that we all care about. Okay, last thing on the managers tab, there's a records tab. And now this is like that league record book that I mentioned, but it's for your team personally. So you can see your highest score of all time, your biggest win, your narrowest victory, your longest win streak ever, most points in a season, and also the bad side of all those. What's your lowest ever? I still can't figure out why I have a zero in week 13 of 2011. This wasn't like a phantom playoff game, but apparently I just benched my whole lineup against Billy for some reason. I don't know if I had already clinched. I probably had already clinched the one seed and was just resting my starters for the playoffs. That's the best guess that I have there. But pretty cool. You can see your own records there. For me, my highest score ever is also my biggest blowout. 200.7 points in a nearly 140 drubbing of Tony back in 2018. Shout out to the Patrick Mahomes, Kareem Hunt stacked for 75 combined points. The good old days when those were my keepers before Kareem Hunt started doing stupid shit and messing me up. Okay, I could go on and on, but I'll keep things moving there because there's generally so much to explore on this site.
And just, again, a mid-podcast bump to say, please check this shit out. I've been working on it since early May, really working to perfect it and give us some cool data, but also give us a headquarters as we go into this season. So I hope you'll peruse around and let me know what you like, what you find, what cool little stats and nuggets you come across as you look around. Okay, more pages that you should know about. In the League HQ is game day. During the week, this will be a live scoreboard. So right now, you're just going to see the week one matchups that are yet to come. You'll have the money board at the top, which tracks the highest scorer and the biggest blowout as they're happening. So you'll see us moving up and down on the board depending on how the matchups go. You'll be able to watch yourself win or lose money in real time, which genuinely is a feature. And then when the week ends, game day will lock in the history. That week is done forever, but on that page, Tuesday morning, you're going to find, this is the important part, a full written recap and a podcast episode covering everything that happened that week. So if you want to check one page on Tuesday morning, game day is the spot to go because you're going to see all of that cool recap, podcast, etc. The other thing that I found really cool that we wove into this page is at the bottom, this week in BDLL history. So every for that week, so if you look at week one, for all of the week ones in our history, the highest week one score ever was Emma with 191 points on Scott back in 2016. So kind of cool just to see what happened in any given week over the course of our league history. Last up is the film room, and this is kind of the next level stuff. You got the full playoff picture. You got the rankings reel, which is power rankings. You got a luck index. That some of you are not going to want to look at the luck index, and that brings me back to Riley, the one manager that I didn't talk in much detail about before, because last season, Riley finished 11th place, 4-10. He also outscored his opponents on the course of the year. He actually had a positive 32-point differential over his opponents. He had the 6th most points in a 12-team league, and he only won 4 games. That's not a bad season. That's just terribly unlucky. The schedule happened to him. I know we heard about it from him throughout the year. But now, the data backs it up. Look at the luck index, because this is showing from the end of 2025 season final. 4 wins actual. He had an 8.6 wins expected. That would have vaulted him way up in the standings, definitely into the playoffs, and probably put him in a position to potentially win some hardware. So, bad luck. That's what the luck index is for. Some of you are going to find out that you've been good. Some of you are going to find out that you've been lucky. Funny that the opposite end of that one is Bill, the most lucky season last year with a 8 win total and a 3.5 win expected. Kind of crazy. Anyway, luck index, pretty cool. Again, just another little feature that you've got here. Okay. So that's it. There's more to it, but that's the main majority of the site. 19 years, 19 champions from Billy's basement all the way to St. George, Utah for our 20th season. And that brings me to the thing that really matters. Draft weekend, Ryder Cup, St. George, Utah, golfing on Mars. I am pumped to get ready for draft weekend. And guess what? We're not done with the website yet because there's stuff here that has to do with draft weekend. So first, we'll say this. September 8th, St. George, Utah. Write it down. Set an alarm. Tell your wife if you haven't already. I really hope that you have since we're barely a month out. And then just think about this. Just thinking back into our history again. 19 years ago, it was 10 guys in Fort Wayne, Indiana with nothing else going on. Now we're 12 grown men. 27 kids between us. Yes, I counted, and that number hit me harder than I thought it would. So I'm just picturing us, a bunch of dads and Scott flying across the country, spending a weekend in Utah, drafting fantasy football teams, and pretending to be good at golf. What could be any better than that? I think the fact that we're doing that kind of a trip and this league still exists is either a sign that this is one of the greatest things that any of us has ever built or an indictment on all of us. And I like to decide that it's the first one. Truly, when I tell other people about the history of our league and that we continue to go and that we go on our golf weekends, pretty much every other guy that I tell that to is extremely jealous. So I love it, and I hope we keep it going. Let's get back to the Ryder Cup. You may have noticed by now there's a little green tab up at the top on your navigation bar on the website here that says Ryder Cup. If you made it to the homepage, you'll also see there's a big button that takes you to the Ryder Cup preview. Yeah, that's right. We have a whole Ryder Cup page dedicated on the site as well. And here's where we stand. We see five cups played. Blue team has won four times. Gray has won once. I know we switch up the teams, but still, the blue side domination for those of us that have been on blue for all five going on 6 years now. And you can see it all here. See what happened on our first Ryder Cup year in Gaylord, Michigan in 2021 with a narrow 8-7 blue victory. You can see the leaderboard. This is where it turns from a team game to an individual. So you can see who has actually earned the most points for their team over the course of the Ryder Cup, along with their win-loss have record right there. You got a couple little nuggets that you wouldn't notice necessarily in the leaderboard. The one that was my favorite, I actually found this one manually before getting all the data plugged in. Joel is winless on the final round single matchups every year. 0-3-1 has never won an individual 1v1 matchup on the final day of the Ryder Cup. And honestly, I don't see that changing this year. Joel's been talking, texting me some bullshit about his game, handicap going down, whatever, whatever. I don't care how many 85s you fire out at Coyote Creek. Utah is a different animal. And we've seen, the data tells us, Joel folds on Sundays. Okay, what else is here? Make your way to the bottom of the Ryder Cup page and you'll see the archive. And this is genuinely cool too. You can literally see everything we've done all the way back to 2015. Some of this was just manual data that I had in an Excel sheet. There's years where I don't even know what format we played, but kind of cool to see through the years. The best part is the recent years where we've used that Squabbit app, you can see the actual full matchup and scorecard for every matchup that we've had. So if you want to relive a great win or a terrible blown loss, check it out here. Unfortunately, I had to do that by looking at my very last singles matchup from Harbor Shores Golf Club, where I was two up with three to play and ended up with an all square match against MO, a collapse that is only rivaled by Junk's back nine after too many IPAs and a rain delay back in Michigan in our first Ryder Cup. So a lot of really cool here. Check it out and get excited for this year's Ryder Cup. You can see the teams slotted in here too. And we're pumped to get another year of the Ryder Cup going. And with that in mind, click over to the 2026 Ryder Cup preview button where you can see every single thing about our upcoming trip. Golf on the Red Rocks. You can see the full schedule. You can see breakdowns of each course, where our closest to the pin contests are going to be, pictures of these beautiful, amazing golf courses that we get to play. Truly, if you're not already pumped about heading out to St. George for golf, check out this page where you'll get to see everything and get excited for the courses that we're going to play, the formats, the teams, everything that we're going to do. But let's remember, draft weekend is not just about the golf. It is also about that thing called the draft. So that's part three. Let's get back to the website. And let me point you to a couple other important places that you're going to need as we head into draft weekend. First, let's talk about keepers. The thing that you'll decide before we get to Utah. You may have noticed there's a little tools tab on the header here on the website, and there's a button that says keeper decisions. That's where you go this year to see who you're going to keep. Refresher on the rules for anybody who needs it. Two keepers max. The cost is the round you drafted them in last year minus one. If you've kept a guy for 2 years running, he's gone. If you picked him up off of waivers or free agency, it's the better of two numbers. His draft number, if he was drafted previously last year, or his average draft position plus two rounds. We might as well call that part the Nick Chubb rule. That's where that came from years ago. The rules are all written there on the site, but you don't have to worry about all that because there's a keeper tool that does the math for you. So nobody's going to show up in Utah arguing about who somebody kept 4 years ago. click on your team, look at your guys, see what they cost, see if it's even legal for you to keep them, and then you'll submit your keepers right there in the BDLL headquarters using a unique password that I will text you individually. So you'll get that coming from me here soon. Once keepers are selected, I'll reveal them through the website, and we'll start the draft order selection process based on last year's punt, pass, and kick contest. By the way, I still can't believe that Tony punt, passed, and kicked his way to only 56 yards, which was almost 30 yards short of the next shortest guy. So, Tony, you're going to get whatever pick is left at the end. You might as well not even worry about that part. That takes us to the draft board, the other button in the tools area of the website. As soon as keepers lock, the draft board will show them right there alongside the correct manager and including what round and what pick they replace. Right now, the board is just in a random draft order, so don't worry about the fact that it shows Scott with the first pick. That might may or may not be true. We'll remain to be seen about that. But what's also really important on the draft board page is that it shows you all of the pick trades that we had in the past season. So if you forget which picks you own or which picks you traded away, check this out. And I'm looking at you, Tony and Andy, who both gave up first round picks and still failed to win the whole thing. That's going to come back to bite you this year. So there's also a manager by manager summary of traded picks if you need a little help on there, but you can see them all slotted in throughout the draft board. This is the one note where I'll say I did double and triple check, but if you notice something that doesn't seem right, just let me know so we make sure we get the draft board exactly right. Now, the keepers will slot in once they're live. I don't know if I mentioned the deadline to submit your keepers, August 24th at noon Eastern. That's a Monday. So you've got a little less than a month to be thinking about who your keepers are and get those submitted. I'll send you a reminder, but they got to be in by then. And then they'll slot in here on the draft board. Once they do, do yourself a favor, cross out the keepers right away. I built you a whole fucking website, so there's no excuse to miss which players were kept this year, Tony. I'm looking at you. All right, I think we've done enough here. I was going to maybe do a team-by-team keeper overview and see who has got good options, but honestly, there's not a lot of great keeper options across the league this year, so I'm really interested to see who people end up with and how many guys decide to go no keepers like Joel did last year. Probably will again this year. You got till August 24th to figure it out, and then September 8th for the draft. All right, last couple of draft notes. Please try to keep your eyes on GroupMe going forward because we'll have some final trip plans to be made, get some logistics honed in, and get ready for the flights out, the first rounds of golf, the first beers or twisted teas or whatever Scott's drinking these days, and just a 4 days of fun and golf and brotherhood and enjoying our time. I'm looking forward to it. All right. That's it, fellas. That's the league. That's the new BDLL.com. 19 seasons down, season 20 starting. Every number and stat right there on the website. Go check my work because I know somebody's going to, and I'd rather it be all of you than none of you. Seriously. This thing was kind of crazy to build, but also awesome. So I hope you're going to enjoy checking it out as much as I've enjoyed building it and putting together something cool for us. Mostly, Scott, this is your time to remind people that I'm higher than a top 1% of all fantasy commissioners. And Joel, don't think I forgot that a few weeks ago you said that I only used to be a top commish years ago. Check out the headquarters and put some respect on my name. All right, brothers, that's all for now. 36 days until the start of draft weekend. St. George, Ryder Cup on the line, golfing on Mars, drafting and all kinds of other shenanigans, celebrating our 20th season. Can't wait. See you all in Utah. And good luck to everybody in season 20, except for Joel. I'm out.